This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ooh, are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings, if you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
Ho! There's no sound that's going to equate to how excited I am right now. This is such a wonderful day for everyone in the queer universe. You're listening to the only RuPaul's recap drag race recap podcast in the world. We recap it twice. So lucky to be here. Thank you for listening. You didn't have any other options. We appreciate it. I have two fucking incredible legends, both really iconic gaggy stage performers who give you everything you ever wanted on stage. Dancing, kicks, moves, singing, you name it. These two deliver it. I am so excited to talk finale with the incredible Rachel Bloom and LaGanja Estranja.
Yes! I think the sound you were looking for in the beginning is, oh,
that's it. And there we go. Oh, my queen. We're so gagged to have you.
I'm excited to drag her, honey. Hello.
Drag her down. This has been such, I have to ask you about the season. I have to say, because I posted, Rachel started a phenomenon where she was like, let's do like monologues of Drag Race moments. And then I randomly was like, oh, I want to do LaGanja stand-up set as if it were a dramatic monologue.
It was amazing. I loved it.
Oh my God. You were nice enough to repost it and et cetera.
Of course. I lived for the gigs and the gags.
It was so good. So.
Wow. I'm just a passenger here.
I was waiting for you to say something.
No, I'm just like, what do I bring to the table? I'm just here to listen.
And no, this was your idea.
On this fast moving train. I wish it were my idea.
It wasn't.
Oh, the monologue was my idea.
Yeah. And I loved it. I loved watching other people's monologues and seeing how you were involving your listeners. I thought it was a great idea. I loved it.
We got to take to the TikToks. That's where things really take. The things take off on the TikToks.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told. I've been trying for a year now. It's hard to get in with the 12-year-olds. That's all I got to say.
I know. I created an account, but I haven't been bold enough to create any content yet because I feel just a little aged out.
I've done a couple. It's hard.
Let me tell you, once you dip your toe, you'll be fully in, honey.
Ugh.
It's so fun. I love the app. I really actually do. It makes me smile. And I think, like you said, that would be so great to do those monologues over there on TikTok, especially with the sounds, a lot of them already being there.
Ooh, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do another one. Which one would you do as a, like, what Drag Race moment would you do, LaGanja, as like a Drag Race monologue? Your own or anyone else's?
I was about to say, I feel like so many people always ask me to go back to All Stars and play myself in the Snatch Game. So I was like, I'd probably say one of mine, but that sounds a little conceited. So of course I would go with Shangela's Sugar Daddy speech.
Yeah. Yep. It's iconic.
Well,
you bring up All Stars. I know you've been asked before and I'll ask you again. Would she do it?
You know, this is truly how I feel. I would be thrilled to have the opportunity, but most likely I would not do the show for many reasons. A, it's very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
B, it's, you know, traumatizing for me. I had a incredible experience on the show, but it was also one that came with a lot of turmoil. So I don't necessarily wish to dive back into the shark tank again. I feel like I survived it once and there's no need to put myself at mental risk there. And thirdly, I feel like, you know, as much as I love RuPaul's Drag Race and I'm so incredibly proud to be a part of the brand, it's just a part of who I am. And people who I feel go back to that show, they want to continue the RuPaul's Drag Race cycle. Whereas I am looking to, you know, venture out and vary into other projects, whether that be other television shows, dancing, you know, my music. I'm trying to really venture out and not just rely solely on the brand. And so I feel like if I were to go on the show, I would be taking a spot away from someone who that's really what they want. They want to be a part of the machine. They want to continue to go to every drag con. And I'm not saying I'm not grateful for those opportunities. Of course I am. I love World of Wonder very much. I just know that I'm trying to grow as an artist. And ultimately, to me, I want to change the narrative. I don't want to go back on that show to change that narrative. I really want to change the narrative in real life.
That's
a beautiful answer, I have to say.
That is, yeah, I mean, give her the crown. That's a true great answer. I know you've said stuff like that in the past. It makes all the sense in the world. You have been doing a lot of TV. You were just on Chopped.
Chopped 420, honey.
Right?
You know she had to come through with the ganja. Yeah, it was an incredible experience. You know, I truly was blown away by the production. And as a queer person who's been in the cannabis industry now for at least 7 years, it was one of those pivotal moments in my life where I realized that my fight was worth it. And not only was it worth it, I was so lucky. You know, I sat in this gorgeous villa. We filmed where they filmed The Bachelor. I think it's La Quinta. It's somewhere out far away. It's gorgeous and insanely expensive, and I could never afford it. I had a fireplace next to my bathtub, okay? So every night I would go home and I would be, you know, luxuriating in all of this. And I just thought about all the queer people who really fought for cannabis back when, you know, the AIDS crisis was going on. And they were the ones who actually founded Proposition 215, also known as the Compassionate Act, which was what allowed cannabis to be medically prescribed here in California. So I felt a great tie and sense of, I guess, responsibility to live out their fight. And like I said, to be able to do it with such ease and such comfort and to be able to retire to a place like that, you know, they were going home to their brothers and sisters dying every day. So I just hope that I'm making those queers proud. And more importantly, I hope that I'm continuing the story, continuing the narrative, continuing creating visibility, and also showing people that you can be a cannabis advocate or a stoner and still be very successful.
Work. Wait, are you going to do a cannabis line? Because, I mean, how much would that sell out?
Well, that's the idea, right? I've been working on this for many years. As I was saying, it has been difficult in the industry. There is a lot of homophobia. However, I don't want to, you know, let the cat out of the bag too soon. Is that the saying, right?
Yes.
But I am working with a company right now. There is a brand that I am hopefully gearing up to launch as my own. And I do see within this year me, you know, coming out at least with a product, but hopefully I will have my own dispensary as well.
Oof, that will be incredible.
That's so cool because also you're such a phenomenal dancer and choreographer. And I feel like there's idea of if you smoke a ton of weed, like you have like no energy and you're like,
you're
going
to forget to pick up your sister from her after school program.
Exactly. We all saw that short film.
Right.
And the PSAs, yeah.
Right. Yes, you drive through girls at the drive through.
I forgot the word for PSA, so I just focused on short film. It's Oscar night. I think that, like, someone.
Is it really? The Oscars are going on?
100%,
it really
is. 100%.
I love that.
It's great. It's very classy tonight. It's very subdued. I like it. But I
we're all really dressed up here, by the way. I know people can't see us, but our outfits, I just thought we dressed up for Drag Her. I didn't realize it was also Oscar night.
Yeah. I'm here at the Dolby Theater because no one's here.
Yeah.
But I wear this just, Fascinator like, all the time. Like a great dancer and just like energetic being like, hey, also this is part of my lifestyle and I'm not just sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
I can, this is like a functional part of my lifestyle. It's really cool.
Absolutely. I mean, I really believe cannabis is medicine. And for me, it is the way that I'm able to be so highly functioning and active on a day-to-day basis. So shout out to my ganja smokers. I hear you and I love you.
Ganja's in the house. Truly. Okay. A couple things. I want to say, I saw you recently at Alaska's show and everyone was great, but you really steal the show. You give everything when you did that show. You jumped off the damn stage.
I did, Mama. I went for it. You know, I feel like when you're given an opportunity like Drive-In Drag, where you know there's going to be a lot of people, it's really the time to shine. And especially when you're up there on sharing the stage with so many girls. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so grateful, A, to Alaska for giving me an opportunity like that. You know, I have worked with Voss Events before, but I will be honest, you know, Voss Events is booking the most current, the most popular girls, and I'm not one of them. So to have a chance like that, I just wanted to show people, like, look, I may not be the most followed. I may not be your favorite. But, bitch, y'all cannot take the doll when she performs. And, girl, you know, I just had so much fun. It's kind of like an outer body experience. Like, people are always like, how do you do that? And it's like, I really don't know. Like, I always tell people when I get off stage, like, it was okay. I got tired. I'm so out of shape. And then I watch the video and I'm like, oh, bitch, you are everything. And it's weird. It's like when I'm doing it, I judge myself. I'm such a perfectionist that it's really hard for me to not be constantly critiquing my performance while it's happening. So when I watched the video back and got the amazing feedback that I did, it just reassured me that, you know, I am doing the right thing out there and I just got to keep believing in myself. And one day those numbers will grow and I will be in the position where I am more popular and can be, you know, out there like I'd like to be.
Absolutely. I think that's happening for you. I see you on the Vegas show. If you want to do that, I could see you doing your own damn show because you do something that not a lot of girls can do athletically.
I would love a Vegas residency for like not even 6 months, 3 months.
Yeah.
Put it out there.
It's just so hot, girl. It's just so hot.
Put it out there.
But the living expenses sounds nice, I will admit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Living in LA ain't cheap, hun.
Yeah, it catches up with you. Speaking of, we want to support you, but I want to plug you as much as we can in this pod. And right now, I want to
know. I love being plugged.
It's just like, because yes. It's that kind of night. Where can we support you? Where can we Venmo you? Where can we buy your merch? Where can we buy your music? Tell us.
Okay, so honestly, the best way to support me is definitely my merch. I'm super proud of it. I like to call it fashion. It's not even merch, mama. If you go and look at my website, laganjaestranja.com, it's incredible. I have over 8 pages of a lifestyle brand that I am building. So definitely that would be the most amazing thing. But if you want to just tip the doll, you can find me on Venmo at laganjaestranja. And definitely go check out my music, stream it, download it. It's on all platforms. And watch my latest music video, Hype Man, which is on my YouTube.
It's also great. You're putting out so much great content. It's really fun. It's really fantastic.
Thank you. I'm working hard.
Girl, love it. So pumped. I'm
very excited to buy the merch. I started searching for it, but I realized I should just focus on
isn't
the podcast
it good?
And
you
buy
have to,
it.
Wait, I'm going to look it up too.
LaganjaEstranja.com because I'm still looking for the website. Why am I having
trouble? It'll say shop on the side. I know there's a fancy intro. You got to click past that. Did you see the smoke?
Let's see.
Oh, I see the smoke. Oh, yeah, I'm getting smoked
out. Yeah,
smoke.
There's a lot.
There's Versace. It's coming to you.
Oh, this is nice.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, I dare you to go check out any other drag queens' websites, okay? I'd love to see them do what I do with mine, honey.
Oh, the star. Here we go.
Oh, this green shirt.
Oh, I really love it.
Oh,
the,
wow.
What I was going to say is while you're looking through, if you can find the clock is one of my favorite pieces. I own it in my house. It's beautiful.
Wait, this hoodie.
Really, fuck, I really love
the sweatshirt. Wait, I love the backpack too.
I love the backpack. Yep, she's
the
cute.
The sort of, this pattern is really
if
chic.
I wear baked bottom, does it make sense?
Yes.
Because I'm
yes,
technically a bottom.
Yeah, you bottom.
I mean, I only bottom.
You bottom. You bottom so hard, you popped out a baby. I think that counts.
So literally, I had a bud reach out to me and say, "I wish you would create shirts that say baked bottom and high top." And I just thought it was such a genius idea. So I did. I made them for 420.
Oh, this is
wait,
genius.
I'm not seeing a clock. Where am I missing this clock?
It was one of the first pieces we put out. It could be towards the back. There's a lot. I'm really obsessed with it. I've always been obsessed with being, you know, a brand. Like from Jump, when season six came out, I was, not to toot my own horn, but I was the first girl to have a website, merchandise, a 18-karat gold line, custom casted, a single, and a music video. Like that, back in the day, girls weren't as organized like that. That isn't what people did. And, you know, people always credit me for my entrance, but I wish people would credit me for like something like the now the t-shirts, you know, where the girls print them and you're printed all over the t-shirt and it's one image. Yeah, I used to do that first, you know, but it's like because I'm Ganja, the crazy stoner chick, we don't, you know, we don't see her. But I just know for myself that, yeah, I'm doing it. And one day my ideas will align with the public, I feel.
You're doing it. You're putting it out there. You're manifesting. And like you are, you're slowly creating an empire. I love the motto that life starts at 40. I know you're not even 40 yet.
Interesting. I've never heard that, but I like that motto. Sounds good to me.
I think it's true. It's like what you actually are doing with your life is like RuPaul. RuPaul's amazing and gaggy.
Motto,
but
are
like,
you 40?
I wish.
So what you're saying is you're fetal.
I'm fetal.
Life starts at 40, you're like what? Like still like early second trimester.
I'm gestating, but I'm like, I'm ready to punch out. I'm going to punch out. But I really do believe that there's a lot, once you're at that stage of like, you know, you're like really ready to do the thing. You know what I mean? Life is long.
It is. I definitely agree. And I always tell people I love getting older. I do. I do. There's a lot of stress with it that comes, but ultimately, yeah, I'm enjoying chilling out for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it.
I was a wild 23-year-old when you all first saw me.
When we
met
you.
That's what's insane is so many of these, and I'm sure that this has already been talked about. If there were other drag podcasts, obviously this would have been talked about.
I wish there were.
But the contestants being so young, it's and especially like with Twitter now being a thing, I just, it would really fuck with me. And so I like can't imagine being 23 and being on that show and having the spotlight on you like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been recently binge watching America's Next Top Model, which I watched every season growing up. I love it. But I cannot believe how young those contestants are. Like
truly
18 years old, y'all.
And they really exploit them. I mean, when they get Shandy's phone call to her boyfriend, you want to talk about exploitation? That's the phone call, you fucking cheated on me, that whole moment from season two.
Oh, I remember it.
Like, you're like, we can't do this. But you really eloquently have talked about this, like, on What's the Tea, being like, I was young, I was excited, production was pushing me in a direction, and that's what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally own who I was to this day. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm still that person. I've just learned how to tone it down when I need to. But when I'm here with my best friends, yeah, trust me, we talk like a bunch of cuckoo birds.
That's queer. That's like queer culture. It's like we get in a room, we code switch, we have a fucking good ass time, we get stupid. That's like part of it.
I think so. I mean, it's like you can say the word everything or you can say the word everything. And I'm sorry, but the latter is much more fun to say. So an appropriator, but that's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm just trying to have fun and turn up and turn out.
Yeah. I think you're
just and I'm here
time.
Going, you kids, you have fun. I was next. I was at a friend's wedding and I was sleeping in a room next to where an all-male foursome was happening. And I was just super emotionally supportive and there for them. Like, they ran into me. They were all going into the foursome. I knew it was happening. It was two couples. And I was like, I hope you boys just have the most fun. I just hope you have fun. I'm going to wear earplugs so you can do whatever you want. You will not bother me. And then I went to the bathroom. I saw one of them midway from the bathroom. And I was like, I hope you're having fun. And that's like my role.
Yeah, we love support. A supportive friend.
I'm just the supportive friend being like, does
who comes
anyone
with
need,
earplugs?
Does anyone need to hydrate?
Yeah. Who needs Probe? Because I brought some Probe. It's a lube brand. I highly recommend it.
Does anyone need Probe? A plug? I have all the tools.
Pedialyte.
You get dehydrated quick. Oh, I love it.
I'm the orgy mom.
Well, dare we talk this ball that opened up the finale?
Yes, queens. You know I'm
dare
excited.
Dare we?
I'm ready.
I am ready. You know, we like to chirp and burp the looks here, which just means if you love it, chirp it. If you're a little hesitant, burp it. Anything you want to say about season 13, just as a whole, before we dive into the finale, Ganj?
Well, I'm sick of people being like, it was so long. Oh, shut up. What else do you have to do during quarantine? Are you kidding me? You gays are living and shut up. Okay, so that's A.
Agreed.
B, I want to say that I thought it was an incredible season. One of the most entertaining we've had since, dare I say, my season.
Work.
I thought the characters were very memorable. I really enjoyed the original way that the queens entered the workroom by showing us their talent right away. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I have a lot of friends on the show. So I will just go ahead and say Gottmik is a dear, dear friend of mine. I'm going to be biased on this review.
Incredible.
But that being said, I thought it was an amazing finale and I had a lot of fun. I can't wait to review it. I mean, I love
Let's
these
talk.
Looks.
It was okay. And you're bringing up a good point of like the coin that is now required for Drag Race is almost prohibitive.
I'm not even going to spill how much Gottmik spent because that's none of anyone's business. But
right.
when I tell you it is, you would be gagged. I was gagged. I was like, I didn't even spend what you're spending on the final episode on my entire package.
Yeah.
Like, the money that the kids are coming with these days
crazy.
Is unreal. I mean, you have to.
You have to be considered, but there should be some help on the way because, like, what Gottmik was wearing would embarrass Marvel. Like, it's like Disney, these major studios aren't doing what these queer artists are producing on their own.
Well, I think she spent about what Marvel spent. So, yeah, I would hope
so.
Yeah,
damn.
No, I'm kidding. Not that much. Are you kidding? But just,
I'm sure.
It's just unbelievable, you know, the amount of money it takes to be a queen, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why being a drag queen is, it's one of the reasons why that we're highly regarded because we spend everything we make. Most of us spend every penny we make right back into our art. It's very the Lady Gaga school of, you know, drag. It's like you just have to continue to believe in your brand and push it forward. And so that's why, you know, I just am amazed. I really am. By all the looks that these people pulled out, it's incredible. Truly.
Yeah.
But at this point, I mean, there should be a stipend in production,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, Mono, I was thinking about it. It's kind of like a way more exaggerated version of the debate that was happening at the various comedy theaters, but especially the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, RIP question mark, of, you know, you're at a theater, you're in the case of a lot of comedy theaters, you're not being paid, but you still have to pay for your own props and costumes. You're paying your own improv coach. And
yeah,
I just, if we're having that debate at like comedy theaters, it just seems like if you're bringing in stuff for a TV show, like any other television show appearance, you don't pay for your own wardrobe.
No.
You do on
reality TV. Think about it. I mean, when the girls are coming into The Bachelor, they paid for those gowns that they're wearing.
Oh,
there.
Shit.
So,
right.
You know, at the end of the day, I can say this. I do believe there was a stipend that was given to them.
Oh.
I highly doubt it was anywhere near. I probably covered
what?
A boot.
I see.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it may have covered some boots.
One pleaser.
Right. But there was a stipend given, I believe. I don't know that to be 100% true.
Okay.
I'm almost positive there was. So I do know they're trying. But again, it's like, yeah, how do you give a stipend for RuPaul's Drag Race? Because, like I said, $1,000, for instance, yeah, that could be maybe one outfit for someone. But for most girls who are competing now, that's one look minimum, like nothing. It's like $1,000. You could barely provide one look on that. Truly.
That's
the
a good point.
The hair these days are $600. I mean, come on now. Like, it's expensive, as it should be, because we're employing other artists who have incredible crafts. Mm-hmm. And I totally get why, you know? And it's like, I'm more than happy to give my designers this money, but at the same time, yeah, it's expensive, and you're just like, oh, why did I choose this one? Did I have to be a drag queen?
Yeah. It's an unsustainable business, but we live for it. And,
but that's why we live. That's what I mean. That's what makes it art, right?
Yeah. There's no other art form where you are the artist, the actor, the director, the producer, and you just get to, you get all the glory.
Yeah, and sometimes glory holes.
If you're lucky, I mean, especially these fucking days. Okay, let's jump in. I'm gagged. Here
what
we go.
What a way to intro in.
If I walked into like a place and there was like a dick sticking out of a hole, I'd be like, oh no, someone left their dick here. This is, oh no, I'm someone worried. Like, thank God I'm trustworthy. But someone else could come and like poke it with a needle or kick it.
Right. See, and I would be nice to it.
I would be nice to the dick. I don't know if, but I guess my first intention, my first like thing would be like, hey,
your dick
stuck in this hole. Do you know?
Once again, Rachel's too supportive at the foursome. She's just making sure everyone knows their dicks are out.
And they are getting poked with needles. Oh my God, that scared me.
Does anyone have a saber in here? Good. No sharps around the dicks.
I would hope it's pretty enough. If the dick is pretty enough, it's going right in my mouth. But if it's medium pretty, I probably want to look at the face before popping it in my mouth. And that's just me.
I feel like that's pretty general.
That's fair, right?
Yeah. What if it was one of those dicks that had like a Homer Simpson tattoo on it?
Oh,
I love tattooed dicks.
You do?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
What about, okay. But what about like if there's a funny tattoo on it? Does it take you out of it?
No.
Great.
We were.
Anyone who's brave enough to get their dick tattooed is definitely going in my mouth.
Because you have to get it tattooed upon your penis hard, I take it.
I don't know how that works, but I would love to know.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good point.
And to perform while a needle is getting to you, that's really impressive.
That's hot. See, I like where we're going.
You like where this is going? Good. Well, then this you'll love this good. First look. Okay, perfect. Because if you like pain and sex, then you're going to love the Cenobites, which is what Gottmik brought to the runway with her Hellraiser look. What about this incredible look?
I mean, are you kidding me? Like, what? What a way to start a ball. Like, stop.
Fucked up.
Like, the headpiece, unbelievable. The theme, one of my favorites because I'm a horror fan forever. Mm-hmm. The outfit, the way it was tailored to her body, unbelievable. The accessory of the bag. I mean, it was top notch.
Yes. The little cube thing. I mean, unbelievable. Caca. It's a beyond a chirp for me. It's a caca.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it was really next level for me. The spikes. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. What do you, what
I
do
never
you think?
Have the looks prepped in front of me when we start talking about the fashion. So I'm like, I have to be like, I have to look at it in order to talk about it. Like everything she did gagged me.
Yeah.
So like, that's what I'll say.
Yeah. These looks are just some of the craziest looks we've seen in Drag Race history.
I mean,
ever.
to turn the wall and to look like that on the, it was just like, wow. This is Drag Race in 2021. Absolutely. This is elevated drag, for sure.
Yeah, truly. And I love that for queer people, because it's just like, yeah, your reality show is pretty cute, but look at our reality show. Like, look at the level of artistry happening here.
And it's a gift. I mean, the fact that, like I said, again, not to go back to it, but it's like, think of the money that she spent on that. Think of the artist that spent hours stoning and creating and hand tailoring. I mean, it's couture. This is fashion. This is art. This is the culmination for me as an artist, of everything. Makeup, performance. It's just, yeah. I don't know. I just think it's so epic, and I'm so proud of my friend because I can't believe I know that person. Like, what? That's amazing.
Truly.
Amazing.
Truly. Work. Candy. Let's talk about Candy's BLM gown. I didn't notice it was BLM at first. And then I was like, oh, BLM.
Which I liked.
Yeah.
I thought it was a creative surprise.
It was cool. The hair was cool. I like this coat of sort of combing effect in front of the face. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, the black and white really worked for me. It was very strong, tailored to her body. I thought her body looked great the whole entire episode. She was super snatched. And I like that she brought a message. And yeah, I definitely thought the black and white carried into her hair was a nice touch. I thought she looked very elevated and well put together.
Yeah, it's a chirp. For me, it's a chirp.
Chirp for me as well. I also thought this was a beautiful kind of sibling slash cousin to Simone's look earlier. Her all white look with say their names on the back. Like, obviously,
that
very,
was
very different looks, very similar.
She said what she said.
But I guess because it's that black and white aesthetic and thematically, it was a nice, I think, like, cohesion.
Totally.
And she looked gorgeous. I think Candy Muse is stunning. Like,
love
everything
her.
She's in, I just, like, I love it. I love the way she accentuates her curves and plays with her curves. And her face is, like, just stunning. And I think, Mono, you and I have had this conversation maybe even on this podcast, but, like, you know, there's the look of, like, there's, like, the fashion look, right? Which is, like, tall, skinny, kind of, like, very few curves because you want to be almost like a blank canvas for the clothes, right? But there's a whole other art in working with curves and finding clothes that accentuate curves and playing with curves. And Candy has really perfected that into high fashion most of the time, except for the alien look. And I still disagree with Oscar on that. He's a madman.
Alien look.
I liked that look.
You did?
Wait, what?
Question mark. Talk to me.
What? Yeah, break it down.
It was different and we all remember it and we're still talking about it. Job well done, lady.
But...
job well done. She did the job, honey.
It was just
you're sitting here talking about her, honey. Okay. That's a good look. If it makes you talk,
sure,
it's a successful look.
Sure,
I see.
I liked it. It was weird. It was kooky. It wasn't Beast at all. She went in her own way. I mean, I hated it. I loved it. It was everything. It was everything.
And that's drag. It's drag. But yes, you bring up a good, amazing point of, like, she has made. She's really elevating her shit and she's doing it in a world where sometimes people give bigger bodies less attention.
Absolutely.
So, okay, here we go. Demented fair lady from Miss Rosé. This black and white fair lady thing moment. What do we think?
I don't remember. What's this one?
Okay, so it was like very, like, she had like a tiny little black and white umbrella. There was like a big sort of black hat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big black and white bows, kind of a mermaid cut. So much so that she had a hard time walking, it looked, frankly.
With a sprained ankle.
Oh, I know, her ankle, which was clearly an issue in the whole episode.
I know. This was so beautiful. I mean, I like the movie My Fair Lady, you know, since Audrey Hepburn did not do her own singing voice. It's not one of my top...
okay.
Musical films,
and that's the tea.
But the fashion is beautiful, and I love this exaggerated reference. So for me, it's a chirp.
Yeah, it's a chirp. Wasn't my favorite, but it's definitely.
And I think my straight husband would say pretty fucking cool because he watched the whole episode with me.
That's incredible.
Well, for me, I always say it's if I remember it, and I'm gonna say because I didn't remember it, it's a burp.
Fair.
But now that I do remember it and you brought it back, it was beautiful. It looked amazing on her body. I mean, I absolutely love the My Fair Lady reference. I just feel like, yeah, it's not one that I super remembered of the first ball. I mean, look at the first two that we just competed with.
Mm-hmm.
One is giving an incredible message. One is giving an incredible iconic reference. So it's kind of like, she did come in third for me here.
Yeah. Yeah. And finally, Miss Simone's bandana dress that is the size of a billboard.
Oh, my God.
I mean, their hair.
Incredible.
And the hair.
What do you think that hairpiece cost?
Oh, my God.
That's what I would say. Fuck. When I got that receipt, I'd be like, I better win.
But at this point of the finale, because I saw on Simone's Instagram that her intro red carpet look for the finale was like designed by Moschino, I think. So like Moschino, at this point.
Wow.
Are these just getting fully funded? If you're in the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race, you've already been on the show. Do you think they're still spending their own money?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. I think they're getting pieces from designers? Like, for instance, Simone wore Mugler off the runway at the award party. Ooh. I was gagged. I was like, off the runway. But again, she's part of House of Avalon, which is Marco. Marco's an incredible designer who's very well connected. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I was not surprised to see her in designer. And do I think that those were on loan? Yes. Did they maybe pay to rent them? Very possible. I don't know that, but I would say like, yeah, maybe they're getting nails sponsored or hair sponsored or something. But at the end of the day, no, all these girls spent their coins, honey, all their hard-earned quarantine COVID coins on these looks.
My God.
And I have to say, this look was unbelievable. If you haven't checked out her merch line, I want to give a shout out to her merch line because she's got a picture of this outfit on a t-shirt and it is so good. I want that t-shirt. But yeah, this look was incredible. I will be honest, just to be picky because I'm very that girl. Mm-hmm. It was a little much with all those fabrics. Like when they did the zoom in, I was like, okay, I feel like that could have been slightly edited. I loved the bandana. I loved the, 101 Dalmatian. Like there, I just felt like there was maybe a little too many textures, but that's just me being picky, really, truly.
I mean, are you kidding?
It was an incredible look. It looked amazing. I just felt like that was something that maybe could have been edited. But the hair for me, I'm sorry, that deserved the crown right there. That My hair God. Was unreal. I mean, she looked like a queen.
She looked like a whole damn planet. She looked absolutely incredible.
I don't think in my life I have ever understood the term natural star more than with Simone. I'm really not that, like, I don't use that term a lot. Like, you're a star. Like, I believe in like hard work and that you can absolutely like get better at your talent. But like, I can't take my eyes off Simone. Everything she does is, you know, like most of the things she does, obviously she's not a singer and that's fine. But like, man, I just like the star power. I get it. I get the term star now. It's like I never understood what star meant until now.
Yeah. People throw it around and then you're like, wait, save it for Simone.
Well, and think about it. That outfit could have swallowed so many queens, but she had the presence to really own that. And I think like that just goes back to speaking on her star quality.
True.
Yeah.
True.
If you can still stick out with a 60 feet of hair on, mama, you're a star.
Oh, my God. We're going to chirp and burp the rest of these looks right after this break. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain, because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Bring back my break. Oh my God, we're back. We're going to chirp and burp the rest of these looks and then talk about the rest of this finale, of course. Should we dive into these red looks?
Yes.
So Gottmik comes out in the Keith Haring red pant asymmetrical thing with all these beautiful messages about trans life. What do we think?
I mean, just unbelievable. This look for me, I had to Instagram story it. I was just so gagged. I mean, I love a David Bowie reference, A. That's always just like a home run for me. B, the fact that it was fully stoned. Like when they did the zoom in to read the writing in the Keith Haring print and you saw that it was all hand stoned, the entire thing, I was just like, how many hours and gaze did you have doing that for you? Like, that's insane. And I just felt like that hair, it was just so good. It was like the perfect color red, incredible. The way it was shaped. I mean, she just really brought a Gottmik sense of style to the runway. And I lived.
Yeah, drag's over. Go home. Drag's over. It's just unbelievably good. Caca. Yeah, it just destroyed me.
Just call me an open grassy field on a spring morning at 7 a.m. because I am chirps for days.
Wow, Rach, that was good.
Chirp, chirp. Just
it
chirps.
Is such a
just
chirp.
Just all over deafening all over. Chirps. We got baby birds waking up, chirping for worms.
Chirp,
we got
fucking hummingbirds. We didn't know they could chirp, but now they're fucking chirping, honey. We got swallows, turkeys. They're all chirping. Turkeys love to
even
chirp.
Even the deer doing impressions of the birds.
Okay. Candy's red leather boombox moment. What do we think?
Gorge.
I really liked it. I really liked it.
I thought this was very strong. I loved the metal details. Mm-hmm. I loved the reference to her original look.
Mm-hmm.
She looked great.
The hair was great, too. It's a chirp. Yeah, I mean, it sucks she has to follow Gottmik, but it is still absolutely a chirp.
I agree.
Yeah. Rach, you agree?
This is sunset in the grassy field. So the birds are still really enthusiastic. They're a little more tired. But gotcha. They're very enthusiastic. This is beautiful. Yes. But I love that Candy had a moment where she's like, and what am I listening to on my headphones? I was like, oh my God, is Candy going to actually make a reference of like pop culture that she likes? And it's like, nope, she's just listening to RuPaul saying, you're the next drag superstar, which goes back to her initial interview that her biggest influence is just herself.
It's herself. Well, the best interview, we're not even going to talk about these interviews because they were mostly just like, whatever, we get it. The moment that stuck out to me in her interview was when she said, I am delusional and self-centered with such pride. I loved it. I love it. I love it.
I love it too. She definitely owned who she is.
Yeah. And RuPaul loves it. She's like, yeah, you're delusional and self-centered. Work.
Also, did we know that Candy had two moms?
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. Did they say that on the show?
Yeah, she was like, shout out to my two moms, and my mom's on her honeymoon right now. And like, that's just so interesting in terms of like her, that it didn't seem like that in her narrative at all.
Yeah, it was cool. Okay, Rosé is coming out in this red tree stump loop. And is she truly limping and then trying to make it work in the look? Am I crazy?
Well, this look was definitely crazy. Yes. I mean, I like that she went outside her comfort zone and gave us something different for sure. Wasn't my favorite. Wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, it's not the best thing she's ever worn. It's cool. The headpiece and stuff is cool.
And concept-wise is cool.
Yeah, but I guess against everything, I'll be a bitch and just give it a tiny burp.
Yeah, it's a tiny burp for sure.
I like to imagine when you bury your placenta, if you're one of those people under a tree, this is the tree that sprouts from that.
It's like Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, yes. Like red and gory. This
is absolutely a placenta tree. In fact, if she came out and said, I'm a placenta tree.
I'm serving you placenta tree.
I actually would have lived.
Yeah, then I would like work. It's like, literally pussy.
Yeah.
I am dripping with baby nourishing blood.
Oh my God. Okay, and then finally Simone gives this nails are the dress look. Cliffhangers are fashion. Oh my God, go ahead.
I could not. The hair was so creative. I was like, whoever came up with that is so brilliant. And then the fact, I didn't even realize it until the very end, the whole outfit was made of red nails.
Yes.
That was incredible.
Oh, fuck.
That wasn't shingles or sequins. No, those were red, shiny nails, which I'm sorry. It was amazing. Her nails were so cool. The toenails, incredible detail.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it was just such a great moment. I lived.
Hands in the...
So do you think that was her design? Like, do you think
I just
that is
don't
her?
Know.
Yeah, right. We just don't... It varies from design
queen to queen.
Design. Right.
Queen to queen. And feels, design. Yes, right. Sometimes maybe they do. Sometimes they don't. I mean, I'll be honest. You know, for me, I work with designers for a reason. Because that's not my strong suit. Mm-hmm. I can maybe tell them I want it this color or this is the theme of the blah, blah, blah. But that's why I hire designers, because I'm not really a designer. Mm-hmm. Some girls, like you said, maybe they sketch the concept or the idea, or they say, I want a whole dress made of nails, and then give it to someone else. You know, I know House of Avalon, though, is very hands on. And that when Marco makes the looks, they all are a part of it. So for all we know, this was her idea and they fully fabricated it all themselves. It could be. I wish we knew, too. I really do, because it does kind of show you a little bit more into the artist. Not to say it would be less if it isn't, but if it was, wouldn't that be cool to know?
Yeah, I would love to know. It's wild. It's just, the shit that they're just like, we're doing a ball at the start, get it together, make it amazing. And then, like, you get like 10 seconds of TV time. It's like, wow, the hours that went into this.
It's just all I want to wear on a red carpet again. If I am ever blessed again to do red carpets, is I just want to get people who like primarily design for drag queens, because the fashion seems more interesting. Will they design for non drag queens?
Of course.
Okay.
Most of them do. I mean, most of the designers nowadays that are designing for queens are also, not to say real designers, but fashion designers in their own right, and that's why their work is so elevated. I mean, it's just like, have you even seen a pop star in something that creative? A whole dress made of nails. Like, that was so cool.
It's all so much more interesting than any fucking Oscars red carpet.
I'm telling you, the queers, mama, they know where it's at.
And it's creeping in. Just literally tonight's Oscar red carpet had a lot of queerness. Like, there was this gorgeous gentleman who, I forget his name, but he's in Ma Rainey's, the Ma Rainey's movie. And he's wearing
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Thank you. What was I saying?
I don't know. Something else.
He's wearing a pink suit with sequins dripping off the shoulders. And it's a very classically masculine presenting gentleman. And I was like, drag is happening everywhere. So
I love it. I think it's going to be a rebirth. After quarantine, everybody is ready, honey.
Yep. Everyone's like, fuck it. Let's go.
Let's get turned up.
I am getting a breast reduction and I am so excited.
You are.
I'm getting a breast reduction. This is actually the first time I've talked about it publicly. I'm looking into getting a breast reduction. Yes. So I am very excited to squeeze whatever they end up looking like into some crazy, just beautiful fucking latex rainbow laser corset cream.
Yes, queen. Yes. Also, can I have your titties, mama? I would love to take them from you.
You could sell those. I actually said that to Gregor. I was like, could I auction off some of my tit fat for charity? Because I'm a 36G right now.
Damn.
So there's going to be some flesh.
Yeah.
There's going to be some tissue taken off. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to look into this. I'm going to call
you. You got to sell.
No wonder you're having a reduction. G, mama?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of such a thing.
Oh, it's a fucking, it's a childbirth plus breastfeeding. They just, you know.
Do you know Jeanette's Bras?
I just went there the other day for my first in-person fitting in 2 years and they were lovely. But even Jeanette's Bras, I was like.
Stop.
Well, no. They fit me very well there. Okay. But because my torso is, this is a whole thing, but because my torso is so short and my breasts right now are quite low because I've breastfed and after you breastfeed, they just
naturally,
get very soft.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, it's still digging a little bit, not because of Jeanette's bras, but just because of the way my body kind of is right now. But
sure.
But it did help a lot. The bras that I got there the other day were great. I love
them. I love them. Mm. They're amazing. Yeah. My girlfriend used to work there for years. Now she works for Ryan Murphy. Shout out to Lindsay Newton. Jeanette's bras. I believe the catchphrase is the alphabet begins at Y.
I think it's the alphabet starts with D. I don't know if anyone's ever had Y cup.
Well, mine is a G, so I just was going for it. I was going for it. No, the alphabet starts at D. That's the catchphrase, which I think is so genius.
I love them. And they now, I was just in there, Jeanette now has, they offer now kinkwear too.
Good for her.
Because like when you have big tits.
And you know she's fabulous in her own right, right?
I know, I haven't met her, but I really love her.
She was in the movie Titanic.
Oh, I know she was in Aliens. I didn't know about Titanic.
Whoa. Yeah, she's epic. She's iconic. I love.
Wow. I love that you know about Jeanette Braun.
I love that too.
I know all kinds of lady things. You'd be shocked how much women things I know. All my best friends are women and I created a career off becoming one. And now, to be honest, you know, as a non-binary person who was stuck in quarantine and had to realize a lot about their themselves, you know, I might be identifying as trans. So I just know that women are amazing and I try to know as much about them as I can because, like I said, I've built a career off of it. And I don't appreciate.
So cool.
I appreciate. Yeah, thanks.
Fuck yeah.
It's crazy.
Welcome.
Super support you on your expressive journey wherever you land. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was so interesting, you know, when I basically lost my job like the rest of the world and didn't have a reason to get dressed up, I realized how much that is just like who I am. Mm-hmm. And that maybe it's not just a job, but it's also a part of my expression. And because I do it under the lens of a job, I don't necessarily have to identify maybe some gender questions that I have. And quarantine really forced me to realize that. And I began dressing up without my job, which led to jobs, which was amazing. But it also led to me, you know, finding my truth, which is I enjoy expressing my femininity predominantly at all times. So even though I've been feeling non-binary for the last 3 years of my life, I learned a lot in quarantine that gender for maybe not everyone, but for a lot of people is not finite and it's something that fluctuates. And so I'm just trying to be open to that journey. And I just hold my women very near and dear to me because especially like when it comes to the cannabis industry, that's the only way I was really able to survive. If it wasn't for women taking me under their arm and showing me kindness and love for being a drag queen, I probably wouldn't have like still been able to be in cannabis like I am today. So I don't know. I just think 100%. Women are amazing and, you know, big breasts matter too, mama.
Yes. 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 I agree. Women are everything. And I love it. Let's like keep it fucking rolling. Let's like expression is.
And Mono, at some point I'll have some drag bras for you.
Thank you.
This has come up numerous times where I'm giving away a bunch of bras and Mono's like, save some drag bras. And then I forget
It's fine. It's fine. I mean, it's also, we've been in the quarantine, so I haven't been
doing
drag.
Do you want to wear a G-size drag bra?
Yes, just I will think find something that. To fill it up with.
I was about to say, I know many queens who have breastplates that would fit.
Okay, great. Perfect.
Okay. Let's talk this finale eleganza. I mean, all of these
Or
looks.
Should we say eleganja?
Thank you. Branding. Leganjastranja.com.
Yes.
So let's talk about this eleganja. Got mixed evil queen could never look. I mean, what?
Diego Montoya, honey. Uh-huh. If you don't know who that is, look up this designer. They have been creating iconic looks for RuPaul's Drag Race since, I believe, season 7. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've
Diego's
never been able
legend.
To afford their work, but I dream of the day that I am able to. I mean, so many of my sisters, you know, Shangela has worn his work on the red carpet, and I dream of the day that I have $8,000 minimum, I think, to, mm-hmm. you know, be able to afford something like that, because it is truly it's the highest art form. I mean,
yeah,
the hours that man spent to create that look, and I don't know that it was $8,000. I'm pretty sure anytime I've gotten a quote, it's been around there. I mean, yeah. It's just, he's top of the line. Yeah. I actually don't know. No, Diego, that must be a boy. I'm like, is it a he? Is it a they? I don't know. Uh-huh. We should ask. Let me refer back. But this look, it was everything for me. It was so classic Gottmik with the rib cage being exposed like that and the heart. It kind of harkened back to her body bag outfit. And I just, you know, it's been very rare since we've had a moment like that. And I really feel like Violet Tchotchke's mm-hmm. crowning look, if you remember that.
Yes.
It was like on the lines of that for me. It was just so unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I'm going to make a huge statement. I want to know what you think, Rachel. I think I'm going to make a big statement just for the sake of it, because hyperbole is queer and it's fun. I think this is the best look in Drag Race history.
Whoa. Wow.
If not in the top 5, this is like...
It's in the top 3, but I don't know. Violet's crowning look, did it beat that?
It might have for me. It might have beat that.
She had prosthetic bugs on her.
Yes. Something about the chain work, the metal, the heart, the appliques along every groove of the hip. I was just gagged.
Well, I can't wait to tell him this, because he will be thrilled. That's all he wanted, was for people to say that, like, this was the best. And I mean, like I said, I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying top 3.
Yeah, I think
it
that's
was
fair.
Definitely incredible. Definitely incredible.
What do you think, Rach?
Well, I loved it just because it goes along with Gottmik's continued reverence for Disney, which mm-hmm. started with the inspiration from the sundial guy in Hercules. Yes.
But wait, is this a real thing, or this is something you've read between the lines?
No. Gottmik said that he was like, the watches look.
Uh-huh.
Was super inspired
That's
by
right.
the guy
That's
using
right.
the sundials, which of course is a reference to like flashers in Central Park. But
yes.
I just felt like this was such a whimsical yes and to that, because uh-huh. it was so Disney villain
totally.
In such an elevated, beautiful way. And it's interesting you were saying $8,000. I mean, if this were made by any of the schmancy places, which it sounds like this is, that's a $20,000 gown.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I told Gottmik, I'm like, never wear it again and just rent it out.
Truly.
Oh my God. For proms.
Yes.
But like rich kid proms. Who can afford it?
Who can afford 25K? Yeah, right.
Yes.
There are kids out there. Just go to the Palisades. Me. Rent it out, charge them up the wazoo. They can afford it. They're fine.
Trust me. Whenever I'm in the Palisades, it's just like, broop, broop. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I hear you, gal. You got the apps open. It's just a little bit of broop. So this is a caca. We don't even need to talk about
caca, it. Caca. Sure.
Candy's peacock ball gown. What do we think?
Oh, it's a burp for me.
Uh-huh. Mm. Uh-huh.
It's a burp for me. Yeah.
It's a lot. I like
the
idea.
You couldn't see her. You couldn't see her, I felt. It just swallowed her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fair. The pieces almost like are disparate a little bit. They're kind of fighting with each other in a way. I'll give it a light chirp, because I like the headpiece and it's so damn tall.
What do you think, Rach?
I'm looking this up again.
Okay.
Because, like, I think that what was interesting about this is that, like, I felt like it was almost more of a down, like, more of a, like, a red carpet that you'd see just on like, a red carpet, if that makes sense. Like, it was a gown. I mean, the headpiece is amazing. I'm neutral.
So
maybe
just
that's a bad move, but I'm
a merp.
Yeah.
A merp, if you will. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Rosé, what about her royal mint Victorian-ish look? Oh, and that's and the crowd
I'm
goes
just
silent.
Laughing. Here's what I think is funny. Is I get it, Rosé's Scottish. And Rosé's parents are clearly Scottish, and I am not saying that white people can't have pride in their heritage. They absolutely can and should. Pride from the countries. It's just it's just really funny. Maybe it's because we just came from UK, where there was like an actual Scottish queen, like with a brogue who, spoiler alert, won. But like, I don't know. I'm kind of like, wait, but you have no accent. It's like, when did you get here? Like,
I'm glad you're saying this.
How much time do you spend in Scotland? I don't know. Maybe, and look, and maybe I'm just saying this as a fellow white. I mean, you know, it's debatable if Jews are white. That's a whole other thing. But as I'm just like, okay, I don't know. There's something funny about like Scottish pride, especially if you don't have a Scottish accent. I don't think it's bad. I'm just like, okay, well, you are leaning into this.
Maybe
you
it's
are,
just a lot. It's a little bit like the Brita filter reminding us she's from New York of last season. It's like, we got it.
Yeah. Like, no one, like, the thing is, no one's like against Scottish people being in this country. Like, Scottish people have been accepted in this country for, like, I feel like inherent in identity sometimes is like saying, like, this is a more recent identity in America, or like, I am part of an immigrant class that wasn't always accepted, but like, Scottish people have been accepted here for a long time. Yeah. It's the like predominant people who were, I guess it's like Scottish and German. I could be wrong.
Sure. No, I appreciate what you're saying.
Because I know the Irish were not treated well. So I could be totally wrong about Scottish people. And I'm not saying that Rosé shouldn't have Scottish identity. There's just something funny about it to me, and I can't necessarily put my finger on it because I think Rosé is really fucking funny and really fucking smart. I'm not angry at it. It just tickles me.
Honestly, well said. I'm glad you said it. I hear this. I hear this loud and clear, and it's, yeah. Yeah. I like the look.
Well, I feel bad because this whole time I've been scrambling to pull up a picture of the look.
No worries. I'm sorry.
I just don't remember it, which is why I'm like, my poor friend Rosé. I really love her. I think she is so talented. I mean, truly the voice of an angel, a Broadway baby. I can't wait till Rosé's on Broadway. I know that's going to happen. But
oh, it's so going to happen.
I don't remember this. And I just hate that for her. But I actually liked her Scottish push that she did. I think it was memorable. So I liked that because it was something we could hold on to. And the one look of her, well, the one look of hers that I remember with the bagpipes, I actually loved. All my friends thought it was too much, but I was like, that's so cool. And she's Scottish. And then she did the Snatch Game and we saw that she could do a Scottish accent really well. And I just think it was like, it was like a through line for her and probably something that the producers also encouraged. So again, I like it, but since I don't remember the look, yikes, I got to go with my rule, which is a burp.
That's a good rule. That's a good rule.
Great points.
I'll give it a light chirp. I'm good light chirp.
I will say though, that was so, I mean, Rosé's smart as a whip. The thing where RuPaul said, I can only say in a Scottish brogue, Lawrence Chaney, give me another. And she went,
oh,
Elliot
that was
Diamond.
Funny.
That was, I had to pause it and explain to Gregor. I laughed so hard and he's like, wait, I don't get it. And I would be like, okay, you have. And then I ended up talking about RuPaul and Ellie Diamond's whole dynamic on this recent season of Drag Race. And I was like, so now you get it. And he's like, oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so I'm your husband. I was like, wait, what? I don't get it. And my friends are like, girl, you didn't watch GK? I'm like, no, girl, I did not. So
she missed it.
I did.
Yes.
I hear it's amazing and better, and I want to watch it. It's just like my life is Drag Race, okay?
So it's a lot.
If I'm not doing a podcast where I have to review it or my best friend's not on it, I'm not all up in it like I was.
Yeah.
There's a lot of television right now. There's The Undoing. There's the QAnon documentary.
Mare.
Bridgerton, who has the time?
No, it's crazy. It's crazy.
SVU, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? That's
Big Sky.
I watch so much SVU.
I love it. Oh,
and then
boom,
balancing your trash
it.
TV with your good TV, you're like, I can't watch
The
good.
Circle. I'm watching The Circle right now.
Me
so
too.
Good.
So fun.
So fun.
So fun. Okay, wait. This white and gold warrior look from Simone. It's a caca. I love it. I mean, it's great. It's a chirp. It's incredible. The Medusa dread thing. It's incredible.
If you wore that and you weren't crowned, how embarrassing. Because it's just such a, like, I've already been crowned look.
Yeah. Yep.
In a great way.
Yeah. Just come get what you get. What's yours?
Okay, so I'll be honest again. For a split second, I didn't remember it.
Didn't remember
but
it.
But I do. It was very well done. I liked the hard against the soft. I thought the hair was very unique. The hair was created by Gigi Good, who you guys will remember from a previous season. Oh, also part of the House of Avalon, who's just an incredible artist. And so I agree with you. It was very much like I'm a winner look, which I definitely loved. But I guess for me, in this particular category, Gottmik really took it.
I mean, look, I already said the boldest thing in the world, which is best look ever.
Yeah. It took it for me. But this was definitely still a two.
Incredible.
Or, I mean, what is it? A cha-cha. A chi-chi-chaw.
A cha-cha. A coodaloodaloo. Any bird sound will do.
Oh my gosh, you could do the one from Cardi B song. Waka! Do you remember that? It's in, I think it's an Up. There's a one time where you hear it in the background. My friend was like, what? I'm like, listen, she does a caw-caw in the background. You guys need to clip that sound and use it for your show.
Okay, we'll clip it. Now look, a lot of this episode, the rest of this episode is a lot of retreading. Is there anything we need to talk about before we get to the lip syncs?
I mean, can we, okay. Can I, okay.
Talk to me.
Can we discuss the tonal point of view of the Friends, You Gotta Have Friends music number?
Yes.
I understand the bass. I love that they explained it. I love they showed the Mette Miller clip. It makes total sense. I didn't understand it had mixed artistic point of views that were all kind of mixed into a thing that I thought didn't serve the Queen's talents.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's actually a really smart thing to say. If I'm being harsh, I would say it felt a little bit like, please give us the Emmy right now or else, right? Because it was sort of a tie-in of like, we're doing so much for the queer scene and we're also talking about the pandemic, so please give us the Emmy.
Interesting point. I'll be honest, I was D-R-U-N-K, and I definitely don't remember this number at all. I remember them talking about Midler, but I don't remember the number, so sorry.
Yep. That's fine. There was some boy drag. There was some girl drag.
That's right. They were sitting in the theater and watching themselves on stage. Okay, it's all coming back to me. Yeah, it's a no.
All coming. Yeah.
It was a no.
It wasn't what we tuned in for.
It was a burp.
It was a burp for sure.
Because if you're going to reference the Bette Midler performance of that song, like, do a fucking serious, I don't know, like, Seasons of Love. They're on stage earnestly singing or earnestly lip syncing even, like, but the, like, playfulness, it was just totally really all over the place.
I think you're right, and I think you're the perfect queen to critique this. Let's be honest. I mean, you would have directed this a little bit more concisely.
Well, to be honest, the watching yourself is something we did in a season 3, episode 5 music number.
You.
Actually, in the same episode you're in, Mono.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is it was very specific. Like the idea of watching yourself perform. There has to be like a commentary with it. And they were just like watching themselves and like being friendly with each other. But the root of the music number originally was something incredibly serious and incredibly dramatic, like that Bette Midler video where she's singing that and you know, her voice is cracking. Like, yeah, I just didn't. I don't know. I have to say, I love the producers of RuPaul's Drag Race. They were very nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't understand the POV.
I think that's the nicest, fairest thing to say.
I said I didn't remember it, so that's bad. You did good, girl. You did good.
No. I'm the meanest. I'm the one who screamed.
Oh, Mr. Light Burper over there, please.
I screamed Emmy
bait. I thought this was called Drag Her, honey.
Drag Her. You know what? Fuck that. I'm going to burp all this shit.
But it was interesting when you saw the crowd after that, you noticed they were politely applauding. No one was
I'm sorry, but that whole crowd in the drive-in drag was weird, mama. We didn't need that.
You didn't like it.
No, do you really think that they were watching that finale live? I don't.
No,
I think it was all
sure
canned,
don't.
And that was just reactions. How could they really play that for them live? That took hours to film, A. And B, I don't think they would reveal the winner to a crowd of people. And you know what I mean? I don't know.
No. It was
seemed
clearly
off.
Fake.
Do you think
seemed
it was off. A mix? Okay, I was trying to figure this out. Do you think it's a mix? Like, they had the finale mostly edited. They screened it at this drive-in, whoever was there, maybe like 2 days before, but then obviously didn't reveal the winner to them. Right, because they filmed multiple. They obviously did the thing where they filmed all the multiple endings.
I don't know. I haven't talked to Got Mick yet, but the way the lip syncs were set up, they couldn't have done that because it was only down to two, you know?
Right. And they
so
don't
that's
like
why
the
I was like, they're not
that.
Really showing that to them. This is all canned. But I don't know. Who knows?
I felt it was very canned. I also was like, we get it. Please stop showing the audience. We get it. You're trying to make us feel like we're in a group of people.
Well, it's also funny because when you're doing close-up reactions, but half
mask.
The face is covered.
Yeah.
It didn't work for me. But what did work for me was when they all had their interviews. And I just have to say, I, of course, cried many times, specifically when Got Mick got his message from his parents, because I know the struggle that he has been through as a trans man. And to see them say, hello, Gorge, and him just be like, what the hell is going on? It just made me cry. And I'm just so proud. So proud.
It's incredible. What do we feel about Miss... Okay, oh wait, the Rue opening number. What about that Rue opening number?
I just have to say, Got Mick is so... I have to reiterate, like, how... I don't know Got Mick at all. I just have to reiterate how inspirational he is. I am... There is a trans kid in my family, and I can't wait to show him. I don't know if his mom is letting him watch RuPaul's Drag Race, but I just can't wait to, like, point to Got Mick as another... icon and be like, no, this look
there you
this.
Are exactly the it visibility
everything.
Was everything for me. And I just think he performed so well on the show. And I mean, honestly, I didn't think my friend was a performer at all. I met him as a makeup artist, and I met him before the transition too, so just to see him become himself and really be in his skin and just living his truth and inspiring others and helping others be able to deal with it, it's awesome.
It's really crazy. He wasn't, or maybe wasn't always known as a performer, because what?
No. He would even tell you, I'm not a performer, but he is, clearly.
Clearly,
but
I mean,
the
comedy.
People who shine on this show. Like, we saw it. I mean, Aquaria was always a performer, but Aquaria wasn't a comedian, and Aquaria was so fucking funny. It's really, it's always really interesting. I also have to say, I love Got Mick so much. I watched both the video that was kind of the montage of his top surgery and like a video of him getting like cheek fillers. And like, that's so fucking badass and brave to have just show that. And, and especially as I'm thinking about getting this breast reduction, top surgery is not a like dissimilar procedure. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, Got Mick did something like this. Okay.
I could like, love it. It's amazing.
It's
incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I love it. I love Got Mick. What did y'all think of the Rue opening number? I was like, wow, Rue's doing a number.
I think it's because Utica called him out for not wearing nails. So he was like, well, I better do a little 1-2.
Right? They were like, I'll show you sweatpants, honey. I'll show you.
The body looked good, baby.
The body
looked good.
Really good.
Zaldi did him right with the outfit. I mean, I love a good old drag number. Was Rue the best dancer? Probably not. Yeah. But he turned it, and I was just, I'm so mean for saying he. She turned it, and I was happy to see her performing for us, because obviously we love RuPaul's Drag Race. So to see RuPaul give us a little something, it was like, thanks, Gorge.
It was nice, especially when it's like, your mother, you don't have to, right. But it's nice to see you do a 1-2.
We love you. We want you to do that. It was awesome. It made me happy.
Yeah.
I was also, like I said, in party mode. So when that happened, I was like, yes, RuPaul! Like, yeah! I got my gay life. Yeah,
mode just, like, alone with the pets? Like, one person party?
Oh, who, me? No. It was my best friend's birthday. So we were having her, another Judy, and our dogs.
Cute. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was nice.
How'd y'all feel about Lalari being Miss Congeniality over Olivia?
Was shocked.
Right?
Yes. I knew it was going to be Olivia. And then I was like, really? But I liked Lalari too. I loved her. I can see it.
I was surprised.
This made sense to me.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
Lalari's just like fucking charming and like down to earth and... Mm-hmm. And funny, and I could see either, but I wasn't surprised.
Yeah. She's a little, I thought she was just a little, maybe she's a little bit more of a bombastic interview. So she's a good ass time, and I loved her look.
Yeah, I guess like that award always seems like most, it's synonymous with like most heartwarming and most charming almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who got Miss Congeniality your season, Laganja?
Yeah, was it Bendela? Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Bendela. Right before they started giving girls money for Miss Congeniality. So rude. Now they get rude. 10K. My God. Okay, let's talk about these lip syncs, because we have to get to it. We got to talk about these Britney lip syncs. We got out the gate, Work Bitch from Rosé and Candy. Thoughts?
I was really proud of Candy. She turned it.
She sure did.
She really did. I was kind of shocked. I was like, all right, because Rosé is like Broadway baby dancer, but no. Candy brought it.
Rosé's injury was really a factor.
Oh, right. I do too.
Yeah, there's tea on the internet that says she may have even fainted before this performance.
No.
Yes. There's
like
some...
from pain?
I don't know what from what, but there's been a lot of rumors online that like she fainted and then she had to fucking pull herself together because they're like, we got to film this.
Look, if you're a perfectionist, I get it. I am the same. I have parts of me that are like the same speed as Roseanne. Like if you're a perfectionist and then you sprain your fucking ankle and it's the final lip sync, like I get it.
Yeah, you just
panic attack or whatever, or you throw up or what. I understand that.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
Yeah, it was fun. I was surprised Rosé didn't give more. Poor girl was probably working through some real pain, is what I would guess. Yeah. But yeah, Candy did great. I liked her. I liked her reveal.
Loved.
A good time. Yeah.
She's
Candy
also such a passionate lip syncer. Like you see it all being left on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
You see the passion and like the theoretical sweat. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do too. You definitely could see her passion.
Which one of these Britney songs would you most like to lip sync to, Ganja? Because, right, we had Gimme More and then Till the World's End.
I would have preferred Gimme More.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Sexy. Real sexy.
I liked her when she was in her cracked out stage.
Me too. Blackout's my favorite by far.
The best album. You know her new album is produced by the same producer.
Oh, shush.
He's back.
Remember Get Naked? Remember that song that never got like a video, but is like so fun?
You're a real Britney fan if you know the song. Let's talk about biology.
Phonography?
Phonography.
Yes! Oh my God, I love Phonography.
Epic song.
Epic indeed. So what do you think about the Simone and Gottmik lip sync?
I'm mad at my friend. I am because I worked with him on dancing.
Okay.
And so like confident building and all that. And I don't know. I just felt like he did really good, but Simone was better.
Yeah.
And so he lost. And that just made me so sad because I know how bad my friend wanted it. And I wanted the first ever trans winner. And even though I love Simone and absolutely think she deserved it, she was better in the lip sync. But of course I was rooting for my friend. Do you know what I mean?
We all wanted to see Gottmik at the very end.
And you know what? He was. And that's what's beautiful about this is that he grew up watching this show. He's much younger than I am by 10 years. And, you know, for him, it was like, win or lose, I made the top four. I made a huge statement for trans people. And like, honestly, do I even really want the responsibility of being the winner and having all that on my back? And so, you know, I haven't talked to him since the win. Obviously, he's very busy. But I have a feeling that he's okay with this outcome and that there's a part of him that's happy, you know, that he didn't have that responsibility. But I definitely think he really tried. He definitely did a lot of the things that I worked with him on in the studio. So I was proud to see
the split
turning to the back to begin the song. I mean, there was definitely things where I could tell that what I'd done with him helped him. So that made me really happy.
That's amazing.
But I just felt like, you know, he did do his reveals too early and they weren't as dramatic as Simone's. And that ultimately Simone embodied the sex of it all. Whereas I felt like Gottmik really went for the like pow of it all, you know, like big out there, which is again how I coached him to be. I felt like he should go big. But I just think because Simone had the reveals and then was able to pull in the sex of it all, it was a surefire win.
Yeah. Yeah. Rach, what do you think?
I was surprised. I thought it was going to be a double. You're both going on to the final lip sync.
I know.
I actually thought it was quite good. And I'm so interested that about the split because I was so impressed. Like, whoa, look at Gottmik busting out. Like, was Gottmik working that split for weeks before? Because to get like a split like that, you have to stretch every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There has been stretching and dance lessons and all of that.
That's so fucking cool and impressive. I don't know. I was surprised it wasn't a double. I thought they both did fantastic. I wonder if the white face made slightly disappear Gottmik's face. Because Simone, we could really, really see everything. And, you know, when you have a ton of makeup on like that masks your face in a lip sync, I wasn't getting the emotion as much from Gottmik.
I think that's a very great point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because I mean, I love her reveal. My God, the way the dress revealed for Gottmik, incredible, crash the system work. And then Simone's box top Lakers jersey thing that says Simone into a Timbaland. What?
That was such a fucking surprise because Gregor called it out. He's like, holy shit, Simone is wearing a basketball warm-up outfit. Those are meant to be torn off. That's so fucking smart because everyone knows that she's going to do a reveal, but to call it the reveal. And then I was like, oh, it's going to be like a basketball theme. Not basketball theme at all. And I didn't care. It was great.
That's what I think Simone is so iconic is that her looks always have sort of like what I call the Manila effect, which is Manila Luzon. You know, she was always known for kind of taking something kitsch or taking something like a Manila folder and turning it into a look. And I think that's what Simone did all season long. And I loved the Timberland reveal. It was just so good. It was so good. And then she revealed the hair after. And I'll be honest, I didn't think that hair, that wig was that special. Maybe it's like a $3,000 human hair wig, but I didn't think it was that special. But it was the fact that she had another reveal on top of a reveal and she waited in the song and, you know, Gottmik's reveal was black and red to black and red. Maybe had the outfit underneath been a different color, it would have been more like kapow. But again, we have to talk about how that was fully rhinestoned. All the words, when they did the close up, it was like, my God, the amount of work on these looks. Wow.
Unreal. Yeah, this was my favorite lip sync of the night, I would say overall.
Me too. 100%.
Yeah.
This one had the most at stake.
Someone else pointed to this out online. This is not me, that Simone went from doing a drag king look to then a drag queen look, which is
so cool. Didn't even realize that, but that's true.
Yeah, me neither.
Again,
that's incredible.
I didn't make that up. I read that somewhere online. That's
but it's true. Though. It's true. She really did.
And then our final lip sync. We have Till the World Ends with Simone and Candy, which is an amazing top two. what do we think of this lip sync? I thought it was like, okay.
Yeah, it was just okay for me. And honestly, I thought Candy kind of gave up and I did not like her outfit.
I didn't. That outfit was not very good.
Not like, the one, mama.
Okay, that's a burp. And come on.
For sure, that's a burp.
That was a crazy
Your
look.
Final very lip sync is a white jumpsuit? Yikes.
Girl.
I will say I showed the final lip syncs to Aline Brash McKenna, writer of The Devil Wears Prada.
Okay, great.
Wearer of much Prada.
Love herself. That.
I was like, you have to see the fashion on this finale.
Uh-huh.
And she really dug Candy. She's like, oh my God, Candy's so different. I love the white on her. I love her bangs.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know how much that means to people.
Yeah, I liked the way her face looked, but it was a pretty simple jump. A little jump. But yeah, you know, this was great. I love Simone's reveal's fun. I did expect the thing that popped out of her head to spin. Was that supposed to spin?
It did spin, right?
But I thought it was going to spin or something.
Oh, well, like...
Well, mama, do you have another 20K for mechanics and hair? Golly, she's like, I wasn't enough for me that it popped out and had tassels and spun on its own. It should have mechanically spun. I agree, though. Honestly, I wanted it to spin, too. I agree. But still, come on. It was so cool.
It was so cool.
It was cool. I think I just was so... That last reveal fucked me up. So this one, I was like, okay, this is cute.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have our winner.
We have our winner. Deserving. And she well deserves it, yes.
I mean, we've all been saying she won for 17 weeks, and she did.
So when they filmed that finale, did they do... Simone and Candy Muse both winning, or did they do all four winning?
That's what I would imagine. No, that's what I would imagine is that they filmed Candy and Simone both winning.
Got
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was a real fucking treat. Candy is incredible, but it does set us up, the audience, to just almost feel just a full relief, you know, for who wins. If the top two was Gottmik versus Simone, it kind of would have been more heartbreaking if only one of them won. Like, there was a part of me that was like, okay, Simone's gonna win. We're good.
I really thought this was gonna be a double crowning.
Really?
I was so sure. I was so sure going into watching it that it was gonna be double.
I wish it had.
Obviously, I was wrong.
That would have it would have been a great time to fight to really earn the double crowning.
But it seemed like that's what they were also like leading towards. Like, RuPaul loved Gottmik and Simone so equally, I was like, oh, they're clearly, this is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have just been that much more happier because I feel like they both really deserve it. But if we stick to the rules and it comes down to the lip sync, Simone beat her fair and square. So that's all I'm going to say. But I would have been thrilled to see my friend crowned too.
Yeah. I think that's fair. It's just we were just spoiled with talent.
I just want it for the trans community too. I mean, more so than Gottmik. I just thought it would have been a great message to the trans community. You know, I feel like they've really felt left out as they should. And you know, gay people wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the fact that trans people fought for our rights. And the only reason they had to fight for those rights was so that they could sit at our table. So, I just think it's well overdue, and I really hope that we continue to see more trans representation on the show.
You're so absolutely correct. Everyone who's been at the forefront of the queer community has the trans community to thank because they're fighting our fights. And a lot of cis gay people like myself, we get to indulge in the benefits of being cis and not always as appreciative as we should be of the people fucking busting their asses for us to have those rights.
Correct.
Correct.
And then I'm just here with the Pedialyte.
Yes.
Yes.
Mic drop, literally.
Mic drop. <I'm> Our fiercest ally and soccer mom with orange slices. This season has been incredible. Ganja, where can we support you? Please remind us, even though we will put the shop link in the pod description, how can we support you?
Absolutely. I'm LaGanja Estranja on all platforms except TikTok because I was too old and too late to that platform. So there I am, the only LaGanja Estranja.
Love, love. LaGanja, you are incredible. Thank you for doing our humble even though it's the only one, our humble drag podcast. You are the best. We adore you.
Well, thank you for having me. I had a great time with both of you, and I hope we can drag her soon again.
Drag her soon, and I'll be more of a bitch.
Yeah, none of these light chirps and baby burps.
Okay, I'll check. We'll do a whole one that's just rotted to the core. Well, till next time. Bye, queens!
Still about to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.